First of all, we go into the different garages and we ask for volunteers. And after we get a couple of guys that are interested in this, we sent them for, we went up with the guys from Springfield. Yeah. We kind of met halfway. And we sat down and we have a little booklet we went over.
And North Shore Community College was facilitating the mentor training.
Which was great. And they kind of showed us what we had to expect from them and for what they expect from us. It's a quick program. It's like it's over before it begins. We get ourselves prepared for this. And before you know it, it's over with, because they're only here for, the kids are here for like two months. But we give them a training, and on-the-job training with us. They're going to work hands-on. All of us have these little things like laptops that we have to communicate with the outside world with those things. That's how we pick up our jobs and close out our jobs. And what else?
Oh, just get back for mentor training for a little bit. Yeah. The mentor training we had this year was at our local North Andover, and we had Stephanie Lee, who used to work for the telephone company, and now she's on to bigger and better things, but she was, I believe, associated with one of the community colleges. It may have been North Shore. I think it was Northern Essex. And she is just excellent at it, what she does. She comes in, it's a whole day, 8-hour day, and she goes through all kinds of problems but things that you have to watch out for as a mentor, how to deal with a kid, how to deal with the different cultures that come through, and
language
barriers, all kinds of things like that, which is really great. And she goes through this kind of stuff with all the mentors. And I believe
one of the big things we have to also is attendance. We have to instill on these kids that we expect you here first thing in the morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they will not put up with any of this tardiness, and we kind of have to police that a lot ourselves. You can't be out late at night, just because you're on summer vacation. If you're going to be participant in this program, if you're going to say yeah and you want to sign on, well, we expect you to be here because we depend on you,
and we expected those kids to be there each and every one of those 40 days. We told them, if you got vacation scheduled with your family, then this is not the program for you. This is a real job, and we expect you to be there on time every day. It's only 40 little days.
And these customers are calling, and they're not calling because they have nothing to do. Their phone's either out of order or they're requesting new service.
I want to talk now a little bit about what the interns actually did.
They did everything we did.
They did pretty much everything that we did, except for with a few safety considerations. The interns permitted to perform almost all the functions that his mentor performs, except that they're not allowed to drive or to perform inherently dangerous tasks. We didn't let them climb. We didn't let them go aloft at all. You have to be 18 to go aloft. But they did all kinds of things on the ground. They learned to, wiring, and they did. Actually, some kids would do all the wiring in the house themselves, and then the mentor would come in and check the work after. Yeah,
they were excellent with these handheld terminals that we had. These young kids picked that right up real quick.
But they were never considered a second person on the job. If it was a two-man job,
we had to go in a manhole where we called for one of our fellow workers to come along. But it was also a good experience for the kids that they were. We got them down there so they could see what was going on. If we had a cable, we had to open up. Good experience for them.
Another thing about the helping aspect, the kids, the interns who actually worked in the manholes, things like that, I think what they realized that they weren't the second person on the job. They were there as to learn and also to help, but basically a learning experience. And I think what they learned was that the poor person, call them the poor person, who has to basically do detail for maybe 8 hours a day on top of the hole just to make sure, cars don't run over the hole or all that kind of thing, people don't walk in it, that it's not, you're just not standing there doing nothing. It's very important to be awake, alert. It's because the person down in that hole is your responsibility, and the people outside of the public. So I think what the kids got out of all of this was that their job, even though they're not physically doing anything, it's very important as far as safety for themselves, their fellow worker, and the public. And that's something that, you can't maybe learn that in school. You really have to go out there in the work field, in the workforce, and learn that.
I know at one particular location we had a policeman out with us, and we had all our cones and signs and all put out. And I know that our mentor was able to talk with the policeman all day, and he kind of got a different slant on being a policeman. Yeah. You know, it wasn't such. He was out there protecting us in a manhole, but he was able to actually talk with the policeman and understand some of the other aspects of what the policeman does, you know, instead of just being a heavy hitter.
Yes. Well, I had a mentor, Dan Plaquette, who is one of our greatest mentors. Dan's out there. Hello, Dan. But the kids love Dan. And he's on a underground truck, what we call an underground truck. He does all that kind of the manhole work. What Dan does with the kids, he actually says, you just don't open up the cover and go in the hole. There's a whole safety process that, you know, Dan is well, very good at. But and he shows the kids, you know, you have to purge the hole. You have to blow out the bad air. There's actually deadly gases in these things. You have to perform explosive tests because
electricity. It's
on and on and on. Yeah. And just learning these basic safety. The safety is 99% of the job, and to learn how to do these tests properly is just as important, it's more important than actually doing the job, because the safety, once you're good at doing the safety part of the job, it doesn't take very long.
You're out on a highway with the cars whipping by at 40, 50 miles an hour with a policeman out there and cones and traffic, and they don't even see you there.
Yeah, people tend to drive kind of fast, and I mean, people see cones and stuff. They think nothing, just running them over. So when someone's down in that hole, I think the interns this summer really got a feel of that, how important they are. Which kind of goes back to punctuality. A lot of people, I don't know, who work for different companies, think that, well, if I call in sick, you know, who am I? I'm just an intern. You know, and that's not true. I think what they actually understand after the 8 weeks in the program, that it gets down to a real self-esteem thing, that you are very important. You are an intern, of course, but when you're not here, you're missed.
Right.
And once you get that into your head, it goes with you to not only to school. If you're not in school for the day, you are missed. And if no, what job you do, if you're not there, it's very important, and which we do teach the kids, of course, people get sick and things like that, to always, you know, call your boss or call your mentor. We call our mentor right away. Call them at nighttime. They're there. You know, we all have answering machines, and let them know what's going on. So now, 8 o'clock in the morning to come, we're not worrying about where somebody is, because we know, and we can fill your spot. So I think that really gets into a self-esteem thing for kids, which is really important to know that every day that they show up, that they you know, we count on them, their job's important, and they're important themselves.
I think once the word gets out about this program, that we're going to have a lot of kids that are going to try to buy into this, you know, because this could work out to be a great job for you.
Some of the supervisors were reluctant to have some of these kids in the workplace because they thought that productivity would be affected. But at the end of the summer, they found that these kids were every bit as productive as their mentors, and that, you know, productivity was not an issue.
And I think when it comes back the full circle, as Linda makes reference to it, when one of these kids gets hired as an employee, that it really kind of makes you feel good, you know, as though you really kind of did something, you know?
And it was very selfish on our part, on the part of the union, to want to give these kids a little bit of a basic union education so that when they did come onto the property to be, you know, adult workers, that we didn't have to say, gee, you know, how come you're not at the union meeting? Because they're there all the time. How come you don't keep yourself informed? Because they do keep themselves informed. I've even had some of them ask me for copies of the AFL-CIO boycott list because they want, you know, they want to do the right thing as a union member. And it was very selfish on the part of the union to be involved in that program. And really, that was our buy-in to educate the union membership and the workforce of the future.
We're teaching them a trade. This is a trade. You know, you just don't show up some days and not show up some other days. We've got some guys that are really willing to go that little bit extra to show you a trade and a good job with a future.
There may be some kids listening. I don't know whether they have, because they're on vacation or something, they're thinking about what they might be doing this summer. If they wanted to get involved with this, I understand you're expanding to new areas, new schools this year?
Well, we're not exactly sure. We haven't really had conversations with the company yet as to exactly which areas we're going into. But we are actively involved in every area in New England. And my suggestion to the youngsters would be to check with the guidance counselors, because this partnership that we have with the company, it's the union and the company coming into the guidance department together as a cohesive unit. It's not the company going in by themselves. It's the union and the company together going into the schools. And that's something that we didn't mention. One thing that the selection of the students is done by the guidance counselors, by the schools, because we didn't want any nepotism. We didn't want all of a sudden six of my nephews have a job, you know. But the
attendance also, too. We want kids that are really going to want to be here.
That's right.
We don't want them to say, well, they're going to come and hang around for the summer.
Now, I know there's not too much time left, so I did want to talk a little bit about that day at Boot Mill. Can you guys talk a little bit about the day at
Labor History Day?
Yes.
Well,
Russ is the expert.
I'm the head ranger. The head ranger over at the Boot Mill. I don't know if you all, people are listening, are familiar with the Boot Mills in Lowell. It's right in Lowell Center. It's not a replica. It actually is, at one time, a working mill, and it is a working mill, and it's a beautiful place. I would really suggest to people take themselves and their kids there for the day, because you're going to learn a lot. The great thing about the Boot Mill is that it's a whole history, labor history museum, and that's what they focus on, because the Merrimack Valley was built on the mills. And if you just look around the city of Lowell, the city of Lawrence, on and on and on, wherever there's the Merrimack River, you're going to find a mill.
I had never been there, and I'm just down the road in Worcester, and I thought it was a real enlightening experience.
But what we do is, it was funny, when we first started this program, we only had one day there, and now I think we had about 8 different days, because we had so many different states and different kids. I think last summer we had 8 different days of it. And we work with Nancy
Delamatera,
and she's with Gray Fitzsimons, and they're with. And well, Gray is with the Boot Mill, but Nancy is associated with the University of Lowell Labor Extension, I believe. And they kind of
happy 5th anniversary.
Yes. And we have basically what we do. If just a quick synopsis of the day, in the morning, which is probably the hardest part, we get everybody together, and Greg gives a little talk, very informal, and then
about the mill girls and why they were important to us.
Mm-hmm. And we take them down, and we show them parts of the working mill. We bring them through what they call the weave room, which is, if you've ever been there, it's loud. And I think the kids actually see how it was back in the 1800s for working people.
But if you think about it, when they used to come off the farms and come to the city here and to work under these conditions is the whole idea. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We didn't have unions. They probably still have mills like that working today.
And, well, after that, then what we do is we kind of divide the kids up, and some of the kids go over and they actually see a dormitory.
A boarding house,
where the mill girls, they call them, the young girls who came from the country, actually lived, and how it was like, you know, living back there, what their day-to-day thing was. And then the other group, they actually go over and they have a working assembly line, which is probably one of the highlights of the thing.
Kids really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it, but
they're grown-ups too.
Yeah. And the kids and their mentors working side by side on this. They have on an assembly line, and the people at the Boot Mills, they kind of do a little play acting. They pretend like they're the boss back in the 1800s, and the line starts off very slow and meticulous, and all of a sudden they speed up production, and they start laying off people, and they start doing all these kind of things, and you actually see the mentors and the kids getting mad. Oh, you're laying me off. I'm working hard. We don't want you. You're gone.
The idea of the exercise is to get them to talk about forming a union on their own, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't.
So they role play the whole history of Lowell, basically, and get a chance to see why the union started.
And one, I know we're getting close to the end, but one last thing that I wanted to mention. We talked a lot about the Bread and Roses strike during these labor history days, and we also talked a little bit about Anna LaPisa. Anna LaPisa was a worker who was shot when the National Guard came into Lawrence in January in 1912, and Anna LaPisa lay in an unmarked grave since 1912. Well, Russ's local, the IBW Local 2321, got together with the Granite people up in Vermont, and they got a beautiful headstone for Anna LaPisa, which was dedicated on Labor Day, so that she no longer lies in a grave. And every one of those students is now familiar with Anna LaPisa's story.
And Dave Morris, who doesn't like to blow
take
his
credit,
own,
yeah.
take credit, had a heck of a lot to do. He worked for the longest time to get that money for the tombstones. If anyone does get out to the Lawrence Cemetery, it's you really can't. It's not a very large stone, but it's in color, and they have the loaf of the bread in orange and the roses in red, and it's very nice to see. And it's in, you know, they actually took care of somebody.
So it's like the union takes care of its own, and that was the lesson that we left with the youngsters.
With the sacrifice.